Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, my goodness. How are you doing with this whole pandemic? Because I'm telling you, it's very hard for some people. Some days you are really good and other days not so good. So if COVID-19 wasn't a death blow for businesses downtown, the recent bits of violence and crime could be the big decision. How has downtown Minneapolis changed over the past few years? And what is the bright side? Well, local attorney Joe Tamburino, who has a law firm in the area and is a board member for the Downtown Minneapolis Neighborhood Association. He's joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Hey, welcome back, Joe. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Well, it's great to speak with you again. I'm doing well. There has been a great convergence of construction projects downtown, the pandemic, and the protests that is causing great concern for the Minneapolis downtown district. How is the downtown council, the downtown neighborhood association addressing these ills, and what is the plan?
Well, right now we're just trying to hunker down and get through this because downtown over the last few years has had amazing developments, increases in population, increases in restaurants and different types of cultural events, theaters and so forth. And then when March came along, we were hit with COVID, which just shut everything down. And of course, over the summer, it's not so much the protests. Protests are just part of life. I mean, in any city across the world, you may have them at any time. It's basically the violence and the looting that is hurt. So right now, what everyone's trying to do is just stick together as best we can to get through this terrible period. And hopefully in the end, and I hope the end will be only in a few months, we'll get out of this and we'll start to rebuild our downtown.
So we really will have to start rebuilding our downtown? It has come to that?
Yes, it has, because here's why. We have to rebuild a few things. Number one is we have to get law and order back into place because, again, it is fine to protest, but you can't just have widespread looting. People operate mainly on their sense of safety. Regardless of where they want to go to work or where they want to go eat, they have to feel safe in their environment. If they don't feel safe in an area, they won't go to the area. And that would be a body blow to us that would take years to recover. So we have to get the law and order piece and the crime down. Second, we have to rejuvenate our businesses, meaning that we have to make sure that restaurants could reopen. Yes, by COVID guidelines, but financially help them so that they could start reopening, get our theaters reopening. And lastly, we also need help from the federal government. There should be another PPP loan or some type of loan that could get some of these businesses at least keep their head above water for the next 3, 4, 5 months till hopefully we get beyond this.
Okay, so here's the challenge for me. Not one time did you talk about those who are suffering already. Not one time did you talk about the people who are protesting, the ones that are looting, the ones that are hurting, the ones that are afraid to go to sleep in their own neighborhoods. Not one time did you say that, Joe. It's all about downtown, the businesses, and what's going to happen for them. The beautiful thing is that we have great businesses here established in this great state of Minnesota. I don't expect those Fortune 100 companies to actually decide, I'm just going to roll out of Minneapolis downtown because I just think that it's getting too dangerous. They're stronger than that. We've been through more. We've been through tornadoes downtown and so much more. It seems as though we have to focus on what the businesses can do for downtown and what downtown can do for those businesses. That has always been the symbiotic relationship. Am I correct with that?
Yes, there is a symbiotic relationship, but also when you were mentioning about how businesses, could they move out? Look what we're in jeopardy of right now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the sale of the Timberwolves? If they sell the Timberwolves, there's only a $50 million penalty to move the team. That's nothing compared to the value of the team. And if we start losing franchises like that, that's going to hurt. The second thing is, it's not so much losing big corporations like Target or something like that. It's losing the mom and pop businesses, because the mom and pop businesses, that is grown from the ground up, and they employ people too. I run a business that employs 10 people. It's very small compared to Target or something else like that. But if you don't have all these little businesses downtown, you will not have a vibrant downtown. Downtown cannot survive just with a Target, which employs thousands of people, of course, but it cannot survive just with one big corporation.
Okay, so here's the deal for me. We've been hearing about mom and pop shops shuttering over the last 4 years. 4 years. I look in the Star Tribune, I look in USA Today, I look at all of these small stores, restaurants all over the country that are closing because they don't have enough people coming in. People are suffering. They're not making enough money. There are not enough jobs out there for people to make an earnest living so that they can survive. People can't rent in these places anymore. Then the pandemic hits us, 4 or 5 months ago, and all of a sudden, everything goes, you know, straight down. And we're looking at, oh my gosh, the housing is really suffering downtown. The apartments, you know, people are up and leaving because they can't afford it. You know, the businesses are hurting, the clubs are hurting, the mom and pop shops are hurting. But this started a while ago before the pandemic, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's why the economy is so important, because when they started building all the housing in downtown, and we have a lot of it, there
yes,
are plenty
do.
Of apartments. And you would think with the glut of apartments that the prices would go down. For
right.
some reason, they haven't. But you
right.
can still see there's so many apartments empty. And so that's why the economy is the most important driving factor, because if people are able to get jobs and transportation, public transportation, absolutely should be subsidized, and we should get it running back 100% again. We need to get people moving and into their jobs, and then people will start being able to afford apartments and get back living downtown, and we'll have a nice thriving neighborhood again.
Okay, so where do we begin? What's the first step?
The first step is we definitely need financial help. Our congressional delegation to D.C. has to get together, Democrat and Republican, and get some help. We need to get PPP loans. We need to get small business loans. We have to keep everybody above head. Second, we do have to get the crime problem under control, because you can't have an area where people just don't want to frequent. We saw that in the articles that have been through the Star Tribune and other news media reports. People are leaving rather than coming in, and we can't have that. Third, we have to get the economy going and make sure that people have jobs, real jobs. I mean, look what happened over the last few years. We had Amazon going to Shakopee. Why wasn't our political leaders saying, let's get Amazon here in Minneapolis, northeast, north, southwest, wherever. Let's get Amazon here. That's the kind of thinking we need to do, because if we can get jobs back here, then we can get local people employed, hopefully union jobs, which even pay better, and have health care, and that will help our neighborhoods.
I'm so glad that you said that near the end. That's really, really critical, because people are looking for jobs. People want to work. I want you to hear me on that, Joe. People want to work. Nobody's sitting back going, oh, let the PPE roll in or give me money for unemployment and I'm just going to sit back and rest on my laurels. No. They are ready to go to work because they want that money coming in consistently. So it's frustrating for me to watch this, because you and I both know when PPE was first released, there were a lot of companies that should not have been given that much money, $50 million falling into the hands of some of these companies. And they know, some of them just stopped and said, hey, we're not going to even accept it. We shouldn't have accepted it. We shouldn't do this. How do we make sure that it gets in the hands of those that really need it?
Well, the thing we have to do is this. We have to get rid of this mentality, especially in D.C., where, oh, we can't help people with unemployment because they'll make more in unemployment than they would their jobs. We should give them the resources to make sure they could live. There is no doubt about that. You shouldn't think, oh, $600 a week is going to be more than what they'll make at X, Y, and Z jobs, so don't do it. No, we have to do it. So there has to be that kind of mentality and support. And second, when people want to work, and I agree with you, they do want to work, we have to make sure the jobs are available for them and they can get to their jobs. One of the hardest things right now is our public transportation. We have people who are living, say, in Columbia Heights or Richfield, and they want to get downtown or into Minneapolis to get to their jobs, but it's very difficult because of COVID and the bus schedule and the light rail schedule, and everything's been cut back. We have to get people moving again so that they could get to locations where they could work.
Right. And the big question is, how do you get us all moving again? Let me give you a little bit of the quote that you were quoted in the Star Tribune article that just came out. I'm sure you've already heard about it. You probably already read it, Joe. But it says, realistically, when we come out of this condition that we're in, I just think that there's going to be a new lower baseline of economic activity for downtown. I'm sorry, that wasn't you. That was a man named Kramer. And he also added that he expects that it will remain the state's economic and commercial hub, downtown Minneapolis. However, as workers return and people again converge for major events, that's when we'll really start to see things move. So to get people downtown, or to get people to say, I'm ready to live downtown, should these apartment buildings that are half empty, some of them, should they work hard and say, let's lower the price and make sure we get good people in here?
Well, that's right. They are being half empty. And that's what's mind boggling, because we have so many apartments. I mean, right now, from where I'm looking in my condo where I live downtown, I can see all this construction, yet they're half full. And I don't know why the prices haven't gone down so that people could be able to afford and live in them. Because right now, even though there is so much empty space in apartment buildings, the prices are still high. I mean, it still costs just for a one bedroom $1,500 or $1,600 a month, which is very difficult for people to make.
Right. And they can easily, well, to me, it's easy to say, hey, you get 4 months at this price and then we go up. Or something like that, when people start getting their jobs back. Why can't we open those up and they drop those prices at least until January or February?
I would agree with that. The hard thing, and I think this is what it all comes down to, we need a leadership role. We need somebody at the head of the city, whether it be the mayor or the president of the city council, working together to actually take this on. But I'm afraid to say that our city government seems to just be chasing its tail all the time, and there is a lack of leadership on top.
What would you do differently from what they're doing?
What, say that again? Because
if you were one of the downtown leaders, you were saying, you know, these politicians, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Then if you were in their shoes, whether it's the mayor, the governor, whomever it is that you're speaking of, what would you do differently?
Sure. I would do three things. The first thing I would do is meet with all the business leaders and try to get from them, what exactly do you need me to do so that your doors can stay open? I will advocate for federal aid. I will work with the congressional delegations. Second, I would then work with the police to try to see how can we try to stop the violence that is happening with the looting, because we can't have people afraid to come down here. Third, then I would work with the communities, which means that you would actually say, where are the pockets of poverty where we need to have people employed? You go to those and then you try to help them see, where can we get you jobs? Those jobs right now may not be in Minneapolis, but if you have pockets of poverty where people need to be employed, you go and find where can they be working and help them try to get to those jobs. But that's what it would take. First with the with businesses, then with the safety, and then with the communities. And that's what I would be doing. And you have to give a strong message every day that you are in charge and you're trying to get this moving forward. And right now, I just don't see that.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the violence before I let you go. Bottom line, sir, a lot of these people that are coming in looting are not even our people. They're not even from Minnesota or Minneapolis. And so that has to be dealt with, and that's happening across the country, whether it's Seattle or Portland, wherever it is happening. Second of all, the people that are frustrated and angry that are protesting, some of them might, throw something at the police officers, or the police officers are coming at them. We're being hunted and killed. I'm an African-American woman that is scared to death for her son, right? And so we are being hunted. And then people say, well, why are you looting? It's not even us that are looting. Most of the people that are doing this is from out of state or out of the city. So that's a real concern for all of us, because we're getting the blame. I'm not saying that all of them, and none of our people are doing, but I can sure say the majority are not.
Well, whether the people are from in-state or out-of-state, or whether they're from Minneapolis or Brainerd, Minnesota, the fact remains that looting cannot happen. So regardless of where the person is from, the police need to have the authority to stop the looting. That's
the way that is.
But
please tell the police. Would you please tell the police to stop killing African-Americans specifically? If you could just give them that message for me, I really appreciate it.
Well, obviously the police need reforms. There's no doubt about that. And that's what the city council and mayor should be working on over the next year. Not to defund the police, not to take away the police, but take the next year, which they should have been doing before anyway, but take the next year and their time to have hearings, call experts, and decide how can we reform the police. But we can do two things at once. You could work on police reform and work on public safety, because regardless of where the person who's looting target is from or what car he drove in on or what bus he took to get here, you still got to stop the looting.
Well, I have so much more to say about that, sir, but we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Joe. It's good to hear from you.
Always nice to talk to you, and thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, I got one more question. The Neighborhood Association, where can people get more information about who you are and what you do?
Oh, sure. There are several things that people could look at downtown to try to get information. First is the Downtown Minneapolis Neighborhood Association. Second is obviously the Downtown Council, specifically DID and the Safety Collaborative, and also things like the Hennepin Avenue Safety Committee. So you can go online and look at all of those different things. There's plenty of organizations and groups that people could become involved in.
And all of you guys work together, correct?
Oh, absolutely. All of us have one thing in mind, which is try to make downtown a better place to live and work.
I've got to get on one of these committees because I'm so frustrated with Christmas.
Oh, join. Absolutely.
The holidays. The holidays are not good enough downtown. And Steve knows, he and I have talked about this. It's frustrating me to no end. I have to go to St. Paul Park just to see a beautiful Christmas tree out on the,
yeah,
seriously.
In
their business. But yeah, so we got to do something about that. But thank you, Joe, for coming on. I hope to call on you again.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.